We begin the current daf, Mesechtas Tmur daf in base. Begin 6 lines down at the top of the Yamid. The Gemara continues the next Mishnah, the series of these Mishnayis, the title of the parak of the Mesechta of Akol Mamim regarding the laws of Tmur. Specifically, we were discussing regarding what is able to go ahead and make something into a Tmur, which is generally when you have something that's a sanctified carbon, and then someone tries to swap it, to transfer that sanctity onto another chulin animal, that then that chulin animal also becomes consecrated. And that Mishnah discusses regarding what is allowed to make a Tmur, what cannot. And then, incidentally, with the same terminology, the Mishnah introduces other halachas that have the same terminology of that this cannot be done through that same type of thing. Says the Mishnah as follows: Ein hameduma medameya. The prohibited mixture cannot make it a prohibited mixture. In other words, if let's say a saw, which is a certain measurement of truma, fell into a saw of chulin, so then that's a prohibited mixture because you have truma mixed in with the chulin, and someone that's not a kain cannot partake of that. Mixture. Now, if let's say then afterwards a saw from one of these two saw and fell into a different pile of chulin, so then it's not, that saw that falls in from this first mixture is not going to make that second mixture into what's called dimua, a prohibited mixture because it has truma mixed in, ela lefi cheshbon, only according to the calculation of proportionately how much truma is in from that first mixture that's now in that second mixture, which the Gemara will explain this halach. Similarly, be'inam chumetz mechametz. Something that itself was fermented does not make something else fermented. For example, if let's say there was a dough of chulin, unconsecrated dough, which was fermented with the yeast of truma. Now that whole dough becomes forbidden because it was fermented with truma. Now if let's say from that dough it falls into another dough of chulin and it ferments that dough, it's not going to make that second dough prohibited, forbidden, el lefi cheshbon, only according to the calculation of how much sa'ar truma is mixed into that second dough. In other words, so let's say if there fell into the second dough from the first dough a certain amount of measurement, that there would be enough in that measurement that there would be proportionally from that yeast of truma that fermented the first dough, now would be enough to ferment the second dough, then the second dough would be forbidden. But if let's say in the sum total that's falling in from the first dough into the second dough, there's only enough that would be able to ferment if all of it would ferment the second one, then actually the second one would be permitted because that means proportionately how much truma that's inside that dough is not all truma because there's some of that that's chulin proportionately from the first mixture and now it's only this amount that would be enough to ferment. That means you're not having truma itself that's fermenting the dough and therefore then it would be permitted. Similarly, another related halacha. The drawn water does not invalidate a mikvah, which is prohibited to be from drawn water, only according to the calculation, which the Gemara is going to explain this halacha to. Also, the ein mechatas, and the Gemara says nasin mechatas, the purification waters does not become these purification waters, which is used together with live waters, together with the ashes of the paraduma, to purify something that became tummy from coming in contact with a corpse, with a dead person. Ela immatin efer. So the waters themselves only become this, quote, mechatis, the purification waters, only with the giving, the putting of the ashes into the water. And therefore, that's actually, it means to say, at the time when the ashes are put in it, that one becomes mechatas, that tells us that therefore you need to have the water in the vessel first and only then subsequently the ashes. But if you put in the ashes first and then the water, then it's going to be invalid because it's with the placing of the ashes to make it into mechatas. At that point, there wasn't any waters and therefore then subsequently can't become mechatas anymore. Additionally, says the Mishnah, main base ha-pras. A base ha-pras is a field that there was a grave that was there that was plowed over. And that, therefore it's called pras because of something broken, which the broken fragments of bones now are spread throughout the field. Now if let's say the field of the base of pras was subsequently plowed with the fields around it, so the base of pras is not going to be eisen base of pras. We don't now assume that the other fields itself will have the same halachic status like the base of pras to say that, oh, what was plowed now took the bones to the fields around it. Because actually one grave does not make a beis ha-pras, only according to the appropriate measurements that are limited to that halacha, like we're saying with all these halachas, that it has only according to the calculation, doesn't make everything that same halacha. Also, it says the Mishnah, ve'in truma achat truma. There's no truma after truma. In other words, if someone already took of truma from his produce, he cannot subsequently take of truma, and the second time does not have a halachic status of truma. And ve'in tamura, this will come back to the halacha of our parak, ein tamura, oisa tamura. If the animal itself that sanctified is because it was a tamura of something else, it cannot go ahead and now make a tamura from it to something else. And also v'loy havlad oisa tamura, a vlad of kachem, which becomes sanctified by dint of the mother that it's born from, that's a carbon, it itself cannot make a tamura. Now Rabbi Yehuda Aimi disagrees. This is havlad oisa tamura. No, the child of kachem also is a sanctified kachem, which we could go ahead and create tamura from it. Which Amrulay, they said to him, no, hektash oisa tamura. Only the sanctified animal itself can make tamura, vein havlad oisa tamura, but the child cannot make tamura. Now the Gemara explains the halachas of our Mishnah. This is Mantana. Who's the halacha of our Mishnah? The opening halacha that says that dimua, which is a mixture of truma and chulin, that now is prohibited for non-kahanim, is only according to the calculation, which now if that mixture falls into another chulin, that it's only going to be proportionally to how much truma that there was in the first mixture. So Amram Chibar Abba, Amram Yechon, this is a delik, Rebbe Eliezer. Because now we're in the Mishnah Masechet, this truma says as follows. Sachal truma, so as a certain measurement of truma, shenafla lapachis mimeya chulin v'nidmu. For the bittul, the nullification of prohibited mixtures, there's different measurements according to what the element is. Regarding to truma, it has to be of 100 to 1. So says the Mishnah, if let's say a sub truma fell into less than 100 of chulin, which is not enough to nullify the truma. So v'nidmu becomes a prohibited mixture of truma chulin. Now, from that mixture, which is a prohibited mixture, all of it, because it doesn't have enough to nullify the truma that's inside. Now, from that pile falls into some other chulin pile. So Rabbi Eliezer Aimi says, midameya k'truma vade. The amount that went from the first pile to the second pile, it makes the second pile prohibited as if what fell into the second one was totally truma. So if let's say a saw from this mixture fell into another place, and the second pile doesn't have 100 besides this one, so it's all going to be forbidden. Which, as the parenthesis says, Shani Yomer says, because I say, Sa Shanaflom, the Sa that fell in from this mixture, he, that's the Sa, Sha'olsa, that came out from that, that was the one that fell in into the first pile, and that's the one that now is falling into the second pile. So, but that's the Truma Vadai, and therefore that's going to make the second pile prohibited like Truma Vadai. Now, the sages, they say, no, they're like the halacha of our Mishnah. They say, no, it's only going to make prohibited proportionally the amount that of truma that was in the first pile. That is how much you need to have 100 of the second pile to nullify. But you don't need to have 100 saw in the second pile. So, for example, if let's say first fell in a saw of truma into, and the gear says 23 saw of chulin, thus making a prohibited mixture, because you don't have 100 to 1. Now, what comes out is that each saw that's there has 1/24 of truma inside of it, because it was 1 of 23. Now, that essentially is a lug of truma in every single saw, because a lug is 1/24 of the saw. Now, if let's say it then falls in a saw from that mixture into other chulin, so therefore, it comes out according to the Chacham, the Halacha of our Mishnah, if there's 77 lugin others of chulin over there, which then combine with the 23 lugin of chulin that was in this first, that's in this saw itself, it's going to nullify the loig of truma, because again, we go proportionally, we don't go that as if it's totally truma, like the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, that he says that this, that saw that fell into the dimu, is that saw that got up and went into the second one. We don't say that, and therefore the halacha of Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer. Next halacha, the Mishnah said, Veinam chumetz ma'achametz v'chulu, that if the dough of chulin was fermented, was leavened with yeast of leavening of truma, so then it makes it into truma, and that's what the Mishnah said, but that's only going to be according to the cheshbon, according to the calculation, which then relates to the second dough that it falls into. Now, says the Gemara, and the Gir says, Amar Reb Chia Bar Abba, Amar B'yichnan, says, Masnit, the Lekar B'liyaz, here also halacha is, of our Mishnah is not like Rabbi Eliezer, because according to Rabbi Eliezer, he doesn't require that there has to be from the prohibited element enough to leaven, to ferment. Rather, the prohibited with the permitted actually combine to be totally aser, and then you don't need to have only proportionally. That whole thing becomes a what's called a piece of iser, even from what was used to be the permitted element. It's not like the Mishnah Masechtas Arla. Mishnah says, Sa'ur shalchulin v'shal truma. There's leavening, which is those which you put this into a dough, it's going to ferment it. So if you take leavening of chulin and of truma, shenafla techisa, and they both fell into a dough of chulin. Now, v'loy bezekedei lahachmetz, v'loy bezekedei lahachmetz. Each one itself would not be enough to ferment to have this dough rise. But v'nitzdarfa v'chimtzu, but with the combination of the chulin and the truma, they made that dough ferment. So what's the status of this dough? It has truma, leavening, but itself would not be enough, and it has chulin. So Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Acher Acher Anibo. He says, I go after the last one, which that's the one that caused it to ferment, and therefore if the prohibited, which is the truma, fell in last, that yeast, that leavening fell in last, so the dough is going to be asr. Now, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah, therefore, even though it doesn't fall in from the first dough into the second dough enough to ferment from the prohibited element, because it truma itself would not be enough proportionately, and it comes out if, let's say, the majority of the leavening was chulin, even so, what we see the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer is that he would say it would be prohibited, because even though the truma itself would not be enough, but zev is a garim is aser, since together with the last thing, which is the truma, therefore that's why it's leavening the second dough, then it's going to be prohibited. Now, although his words actually are achar achar nani ba, he doesn't seem to say the halacha of the Gemara is inferring that zev is a garim is aser, and since, let's say, in the halacha of our Mishnah, you're right, proportionally you wouldn't have enough to ferment the second dough with the truma that's mixed inside of it, and therefore why is it going to be forbidden? So it's not specifically because of the last thing that falls in. Because even is, as Rashi explains, if the iser would be the first thing to fall in, and then the heter, if you didn't go ahead and remove the iser, rather you left it in there, and then it's being fermented with the two of them, it's going to be forbidden, because actually the pin Rabbi Eliezer really is, primary element that he's trying to point out is that zev is a goyim is aser. When you have something prohibited or something permitted causing, then since ultimately part of it is the aser, so it's going to be aser, as the Gemara says in the first parak of Mecheres, Dav Zayin Med Alf, and that would apply in all places, and that's exactly what Abaye is explaining. Pesachim Dav Zayin Med Alf, he explains this halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, and he says that it's only if, the reason why he's saying acha acha nani ba, and that it wouldn't be if the issa was the first one, is because if you remove the issa first. But if you didn't remove the issa first, then it would be aser. So although actually the Gemara over there asks on these halachas, that ultimately the maskana of the Gemara over there is, or Rebbe Eliezer holds, zev is a garm is aser, and therefore again, the halacha of our Mishnah, since part of it, doesn't, not all of it, right, all of it wouldn't be enough, and therefore, according to the cheshbon, it should not make the second dough aser. Still, part of it is the truma, zev is a garm, it's going to be aser. Whereas v'chachamayim, they're like the halacha of Mishnah, they say no, bein shenafal issa l'ketchila, whether if the prohibited element falls in first, bein shenafal issa b'sayv, whether the prohibited element falls in at the end, la'olam einasa atshe hibay k'day l'hachm, it's not going to be prohibited until it has enough on its own to ferment. And therefore, the halacha of Mishnah, that's what he said, ve'ena mochametz mechametz alafi chashmin. If proportionally there's not enough of the truma to go ahead and make the second dough prohibited, even though it's part of it, then it's not going to be yasser, and therefore it's not like really yasser. Mishnah continued and said that the ein hamayim shu'uvim poisim as a mikvah, that the drawn waters, which is prohibited to make a mikvah from, and even invalidates it, but that's only going to be, as we said, el lafi cheshbon, only according to the calculation. So the Gemara here too says matan who's halacha of a Mishnah. So Amar b'chi b'rabba Amar b'yechanan says it's Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov. Why? Because it's not, it was actually a brisa. Eliezer ben Yaakov, he says, mikvah sheyesh be estrim ve'achas sam megisham. If the mikvah, the ritual bath, that has in it 21 sa of rainwater, which a mikvah, the minimum is 40 sa. Now, it has already a majority of rainwater, which that's valid for immersion for a mikvah, because the halach of mayim chayim, which is live waters, which is from a spring, not rainwater, that's only for a zav. That's only someone that has this the emission from his body making him into a zav. But anyone else that's tamei, it's kosher with rainwater to him. So says Rabbi Ben Yaakov, if there's already 21 sa of rainwater, has already the majority of rainwater, then memali bekesef, then someone could fill up with his shoulders, and he could draw the water, what's called mayim shuvim, he could draw it up and put on his shoulder, tisha esri sa, the remaining 19 sa, upaiskin la mikvah, which means say he spills it outside near the mikvah, meaning he can't pour it from the pitcher directly into the mikvah, because then even if it's only 3 logan, would actually invalidate the mikvah like in such a situation. Rather, what he does is he makes some type of a hole in the ground at a distance from the mikvah. He pours from the pitcher into that ditch, that irrigation canal, and then it flows through the ditch into the mikvah, and that's what's known as hamshacha, of drawing the water of shuvim on the ground till it reaches the mikvah. And then as we get to intimate base, v'hein tyron, and in other words, then it's going to be valid to go ahead and immerse in such a mikvah. Why? So he explains, Shashiva metaheris b'reviya, because there's two elements that purifies and undoes the invalidity of the problematic part of drawn waters. One is b'reviya, meaning when the majority of the rainwaters fell in by themselves, as we said, it has already 21 sah, which is the majority of rainwaters. Ubahamshacha, and even the minority of the drawn waters becomes validated by doing hamshacha, by drawing it through this ditch in the ground. That's going to purify the she'iva if it's the minority. So therefore, that's what the Gemara is saying. That is what it means when it says in the Mishnah, lefi chashben, that means to say that the mayim shub manakin invalidate the mikvah, if it's being done derech hamshacha, only if it would have 20 sah, then it would be problematic. But since it's only 19 sah, so therefore, it's the minority. So you have revia, you have the majority of rainwater. And also on the mayim shub yamshacha, so therefore that's what we're saying in the Mishnah, that the mayim shub only going to pass lefi chashben. On this interpretation, the Gemara asks, from the fact that you're telling me that the halacha of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and not the Rabbanon who disagree with him. Now, the halacha of our Mishnah is a leniency. And that's the terminology that the Mishnah uses. It says, Eina shuvim placem, the drawn wood is not going to validate, only according to the Cheshvan. Now, so ask the Gemara, Machlal the Rabbanon. So the inference is the Rabbanon who disagree with Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, that obviously they're saying stringently. And the halacha of the Mishnah, that's a leniency, is like Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So you tell me that Savri de Reviu b'Amshach Aloy, that you tell me that they would hold more stringent, that actually even if the majority is rainwater, you have 21 sa megashamim, and the minority of the Mayim Sh'uvim was drawn on the ground before it hits the mikveh, then they would hold that's not valid? But Elohad d'chiyasu Rabban Amar B'yechanan, he says, Sh'uvah shem shichucha kula, he says that drawn water, which all of it was drawn on the ground, meaning even if all of the mikveh waters were Mayim Sh'uvim, but it was done through Hamshacha, which even though the water was drawn, but it was put onto the ground and it flowed naturally into the mikvah, that he says, tahayra, that actually validates entirety of the contents of a mikvah. So Mani, who would he be like? Lo Rabbanan v'lo Rabbi Eliezer. He's not like the Rabbanan, for sure not, because you tell me they're even more stringent than Rabbi Eliezer. And not even Rabbi Eliezer, because Rabbi Eliezer requires at least that a majority of it be from the natural drain waters and not drawn and then through Hamshacha. So who would he be like? So Elam Rabba, rather Rabba says in the Gears of Rashi's Rapapa, that actually, no, you're right, the Rabbanon are more lenient than Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And this, that where the halacha of Ravin that says actually the whole mikveh is kosher through Mayim Shuvim, through Hamshacha, is actually like the Rabbanon. They don't require the first 21 log to be through Megisham. And actually the interpretation of our Mishnah is not talking about to say that it's Rabbi Eliezer and that the Rabbanon would actually be more stringent. Rather, says Rabbah, it's a different halacha. And it says that the Mayim Shuvim only pasul fi cheshbon, it's like fi cheshbon kelim, goes according to the calculation of how many vessels were used to pour in the Mayim Shuvim into the mikvah. And Vayesa ben Chaynihi, who he has a certain leniency regarding that halacha. The Tanakh learned the Braisa. Shleishas lugin Mayim Shuvim shenaf l'mayim, which that's generally the minimum amount that invalidates the mikvah if it doesn't have a full 40 soya. There's 3 lug of drawn water that falls into a mikvah, from vessels, into the mikvah. So, says the first opinion. Bishnayim b'shleisha kelim. Says the Tanakhama, if it falls in with 2 or 3 vessels, or v'afil b'abo v'chamisha kelim, or even with 4 or 5 vessels, still, since you're pouring in 3 lugan of mayim shuvim, says the Tanakhama, place them as a mikvah, that invalidates the mikvah. So it doesn't make a difference how many vessels, according to the Tanakhama. But our Mishnah is going, like Yosef ben Chayim, he says, no. Bishnayim b'shleisha kelim, if it falls in this 3 lugan with 2 or 3 vessels. Well, that means to say that it's falling in a complete lug from every single vessel. So then place less a mikvah. That's going to validate a mikvah. But barbav, chamisha, but if let's say these 3 lugan fell in through a combination of 4 or 5 vessels, which means to say that you don't have a full lug falling in at one time, because you have less than that, because you're using 4 or 5 or 6 vessels, then ain place them as a mikvah. Then that will not invalidate a mikvah, because even though you're having 3 lugan, it's not coming with a lug at a time. And that's what the Mishnah means when it says, lefi cheshbon, according to the calculation of how many vessels are being used, that is only then it will invalidate. That's a leniency of if you use more vessels, that mayim shuvim are not going to invalidate. Now the Mishnah continues, said, ve meichatas nasa meichatas v'chul, that similar type of halacha, that what cannot make, again, another type of a leniency, or stringency, a limitation, not so much according to the cheshbon, but then the Mishnah went on to say that the purification waters to purify someone that became tamei from a mess, it only becomes mechatas only with the ashes. Hence, like we said, that the water has to be in first, and then the ashes has to hit the water for it to be valid. It says Gemara Ma'atan, who's the Tan of a Mishnah? So I'm Rabbi Abba, Rabbi Yechon. This is delik Rabbi Shimon. It's not like Rabbi Shimon, because according to Rabbi Shimon, even if the ashes went in before the water, it's going to be valid. As the Gemara said, the Tan like learned the Braisa, which this Braisa is in the context of the Mei Saita. The Saita, the suspected adulterous woman, has to drink certain waters too, which the earth from the Beis HaMikdash is put in. Says the Braisa, Hiktim offer, if let's say the dust of the ground was put into the vessel before Lamayim, before the water was put into the vessel, So the Tanna Kamma pasuk can be invalid because you have to have the water first. But Reb Shimon, Nachshon, Reb Shimon says it's kasher. Now explains the Gemara. My time to Reb Shimon. What's the reason of Reb Shimon? Because the Chsiv, the pasuk says regarding the context of what we're discussing in our Mishnah regarding the mechatzes, the purification waters that have ashes of the paraduma put into it. The pasuk says over there, v'lo kula tamei, you should take for the person that became impure, ma'afar sreifas achatas, from the dust of the burnt achatas from the paraduma, v'nos n'lov mayim chayim, and you put on it the live waters which are used together to make these purification waters. Now, the time to learn the b'ris. Shimon, he says, v'chi aferhu, is it dust? V'alei eferhu, with an aleph, it's ashes, it's the burnt ashes of the paraduma. So why say with an ayin? Rather, says Reb Shimon, Shina Kasim Yimashmoy, the pasuk changed from its understanding, Lodan Himen Exereshava, because it wanted to learn from their Exereshava. Why? Because it wanted to compare offer offer. Nemrakan, it says over here, by the Mechatis, by a purification of waters of the Paraduma, it says offer, again, even though it said Afer with Aleph, it says specifically with an ayin, because Vanemala Halon says over there by the Saita offer, which says that you put the dust on the water, like it says, I'm in the offer Ashayiyah. So we're making the following Seir Shav. Malahalon offer Agabe Mayim, just like over there, the Pasuk says to put the dust on top of the water, Afkan offer Agabe Mayim, so to over here is to put the dust on top of the water. And that, you're right, according to everyone, that's its Hechsher, that's its rectification of the mitzvah initially. That first you should put in the water, and then you should put on the dust. Now, but, and that's the point, umakan hiktim offer lamayim kasher, just like over here by the mechatas. If you put first the offer before the water, it's going to be valid. Afkan hiktim offer lamayim kasher. So over here by the saita, that's where Reb Shimon disagrees over here. Now we're using it for the context that he's learning from, which is mechatas, which the halacha of Mishnah is not like him. But he even extends that to saita, that also over here by saita, if you makdim offer lamayim, it's kasher. If you put in the water, if you put in the dust, you put in the dust of the ground of the Beis HaMikdash before the water, it's going to be kosher again, not like the Tanna Kamma over there in the Paraisa. And then again, so too, in our Mishnah, it's not like Reb Shimon either, because he says that it's going to be valid even if you have the ashes before him. Now, says the Gemara, Abahach, over here by the Mechatas Menolon, where do you know this idea to be true, that, which again is not like the Halacha of our Mishnah, that even if you put the Efer first, and that you're learning out to the Saita, that if you put the Afer first, it's going to be kosher, Menolon. Says Gemara, because Trei Kroik Sivi, because it says over there by the Mechatas two psukim, contradictory psukim. Says on the one hand, Benos Nalav, and the pasuk says Mayim Chayim, that you put on it the live waters, which sounds like Alma Eifa Bereisha. Obviously, the ashes are there first, and you're putting on the water on it. Now, but yet Vahadik said Mayim Chayim Al Keli, but then the pasuk says that the live waters go into the vessel, which sounds like that the waters themselves have to go straight into the kli and not onto the ashes, because El Kli sounds like that the offer was there ready first, and that if the offer is there first, that it's going to be puzzle. So okay, so how do you resolve it? So that's where Reb Shimon learns from Ratza Afalamata, Ratza Afalamala. That yes, you get to choose. If you want, you could have the offer first, and then you can have Nasan Maim Chaim, then you can have Nasan Alav Maim Chaim. And if you want, you could put the water first, and then you have Nasan Chaim El Kelly. But that's one thing that we see from here, is that obviously according to Reb Shimon, that by the mechatzes, by purification waters, which is the halacha of our Mishnah, if you makdim the afer to the mayim, it's going to be kosher. Says the Gemara, v'tanda did that my time. I said, now what's the reason of the tanda of our Mishnah? Seemingly Reb Shimon's correct. It's contradictory psukim in the same pasuk. Sounds like you could choose which one. Why does the tanda of the Mishnah say, no, that you have to have the water first, and if not, it's going to be pasul? So Amalach, he would tell you, because actually say for the Krah, the end of the pasuk, which says El Keli, to put the water into the vessel, that's dafka. That's precise. That's necessarily the way it has to be. Now, this that says, v'nosna love, that you put on it, which sounds like that you're putting the water onto the ashes, that's not to say that because if you put the ashes first, it's going to be kosher. Rather, that's coming to tell you to be careful that after that you put the ashes on top of the water, that then li arvan, that then you have to mix it with your finger very well so that the water that's on the bottom will be on top of the ashes. But no, the water has to be first, and then goes the ashes. Which the Gemara asks, Maichas, the way you see fit the Amrit Sefer, the Krodavka, you say, oh no, the end of the Pasuk, and that's the halacha we explain the Tanna of a Mishnah, that's precise, and therefore you have to have the water first. Delmaresha Davka, maybe the beginning of the Pasuk is more precise to say that no, the ashes could go first before the water, like it says, Venosn Lav Maim, that you put the water on top of the ashes, and this it says that you're putting El Keli, that you put the water into the vessel, maybe that's coming to say a different halacha. That means to say, Mayim Chayim El Keli means to say that it's chias, its life, a vitality should be in the vessel. What that means to say is a different halacha. Don't fill it up with a different vessel and put it into this vessel. Rather, that you should fill up from this vessel directly from the spring and put the water inside of it. Maybe that's what means Mayim Chaim El Keli. But maybe it doesn't mean to say that the water has to go first. So it's like, well, no, you can't say that. Why? Because Mametzi in the B'chal Makom, just like we find elsewhere, for example, like by Saita, that the Machshir, the thing that's validating, which is the Ufer, the dust, that has to be, Lamala, that has to be on the top. It's what's machshir the mayim. Means to say, that's what actually inspects the suspected adulterous woman. That's the dust, and that's on the top. Where according to everyone, everyone agrees that the mitzvah is to be makdim, the mayim first. Like it says, in the offer, that from the dust you put it onto the waters. So just like over there, we see the machshir lamala, afka machshir lamala, so to over here, by the afer of the parduma, that it has to be on the top. So therefore, obviously, the end of the pasuk must be telling us that the primary halacha itself, that you actually put in the water first and then you put in the ashes. And the beginning of the pasuk that sounds like that you put the water on top of the ashes, that's like they made for that drasha. That's just to say to mix it up afterwards, but therefore the time of emission is not like Reb Shimon that says you have to put in the water first and only then you can put in the ashes. Then the Mishnah continues, it says, Ve'im besa pras, isa besa pras, chulu, etc. But that this line of the Mishnah, that a besa pras, which has a grave that's lost and that's get plowed over, where we don't know where the bones are, then it doesn't make the fields around it into Beis HaPrastu. Says the Gemara Masnin, like Rabbi Eliezer, this part of the Mishnah is also not like Rabbi Eliezer. Because it's not, we learn the Mishnah Masechtas Alis that says as follows. Rabbi Eliezer, he says, Beis HaPrast, Eisa Beis HaPrast, he says actually, the Beis HaPrast does make all the four fields around that Beis HaPrast, they themselves now become Beis HaPrast. So if they get plowed over, we assume that, we suspect that the dust of the Beis, the earth from the Beis HaPrast, could have spread throughout on either side, on all four sides, and therefore it makes them tummy. So it would make a Pesach press, and our Mishnah is not like that. Now, says the Gemara, Rabbanan Kama, but the Rabbanan, the town of Amish, that says it doesn't make all the fields around the Pesach press. So how much, however, do we suspect that, because we don't know where the grave was and where the bones could have spread to, how much do they hold that it is going to spread? Says the Gemara, Kiyasar Abdim, Amish Lakash, Amish Barabba, he says, as it contains up a bit Gimlam and Alf, says it's for Shalish Sadis, three fields, meaning the field itself which had the grave, then the field on either side. So let's say the people in that, in those open fields, they would plow their fields from east to west. So then they would make a Beis HaPras, the field that's on the east and on the west. And they would plow from north to south. So then they would plow, so then the Beis HaPras would make that one on the north and the south of it, because that's when we suspect that the plow took the dust, the earth from the Beis HaPras and the bones to either field on either side. Now, it's not to all four sides, because it's not the norm to plow the longitudinal and latitudinal, with crisscross. You do it in one direction. So therefore, the field itself, which had the grave, so that's totally going to be a Beis HaPras. But the two fields on either side, that's what the Mishnah even qualifies further and says, and even those two fields don't become totally Beis HaPras. Rather, it goes according to measurement of Vishti Manos, a two furrows length, which is a furrow on either side. A furrow is how much one plows with the plow, because that's how much we would suspect it might have taken the earth. Now, like we said, the field itself, which the grave was in, it's totally tummy, because we don't know which part of it had the grave. It could have been anywhere in the field. But therefore, we make a Beis HaPras, a furrow's length on either side of that field, is because maybe the grave was on the edge of that field, and it took it into the other field a furrow's length, which that's how much a grave, if it would plowed over, the Chacham evaluated, it would go a furrow's length. That's how much the bones could have spread through being plowed over. Now, v'kama m'leman, and how much is a furrow's length? So it's the Gemara Me'am, it's 100 amah ketanya, which actually Mishnah Masechtas Halos. Hacharish is a kev, if someone plows over a grave, aisa beis hapras, so it makes a beis hapras, m'loy mana, a furrow's length, which is Me'am, 100 amah. So in our case, middle field, which you don't know where it is. So again, it's going to be 100 amah, but you don't know where it is, so the whole field is. But the two fields on either side of where one plows in that direction, so then when you're plowing, it could have spread 100 amah. So since it could be the edge of the field, that's how much it goes into those two fields, a distance of 100 amah. Again, not like the halacha of Rabbi Eliezer, which says it's on all four sides, become a Beis HaPras.